So, James, I want you to bear in mind as we go into the chapter today, what's come out already this afternoon. There is a name. There is a name. I want you to keep that in your minds. I want you to keep in your minds there is someone who also we can knock and ask, and as a good father, he will give. And that fits so much with the message, I think, this afternoon as we go into James. I've called it the way of wisdom. And we're looking at James chapter 3, verse 13 to 18. Marion, I think last time, took us at the beginning of James chapter 3 into the question about the use of our tongues. And didn't she just say, just shut up? That sounds about right, doesn't it? We now move to the question about wisdom, and we don't want to disconnect this section from what has gone before, that as James in the beginning of chapter 3 is speaking to teachers who use their tongues, we need to bear that in mind, that he wants them to not just speak words, but to align their lives. But it's not just for teachers, it's for all of us. So it flows in here to the questions that we're going to look at with wisdom. And James begins our section, which we will get onto, with a question. Who is wise and understanding among you? Mike might have a view on this, but it made me think, is this a trick question? Is this the kind of question that a teacher asks and the kid who shouts his mouth off, as opposed to the beginning of chapter 3, or puts his hand and says, it's me, has kind of got it wrong? Is that what's going on here? The uncontrolled answer, the person who can't control their tongue, they are not the wise one. Reminds me of that proverb in Proverbs, where it says, even a fool looks wise if he keeps his mouth shut. The trick question, it's me, sir. Or is it an invitation? Who's wise and understanding among you? An invitation, well, it's not me. I need to learn. I need to find out what it means to be wise and understanding. But let me begin by asking you a question. If you've got your phones, you can answer this one. When you need wisdom, where do you go? I'll give you a couple of seconds on that before I put the slide up. Hashtag should be on the following slide as well. So here's the question. When you need wisdom, where do you go? Type in your answer and it should appear on the screen. Ha ha ha, who was that? Some joker. Have you been listening to Matt? Oh, some of you have been listening to Matt's message from a few weeks ago about prayer. Why don't I pray? My wife. No husbands. Anybody go to their husband? God and mature Christians. The church community. At least Phil is getting smaller now. Yeah, get lost. That's out of order. I'm going to move on if you're going to be like this. Mature Christians, God and mature Christians, church community, wife, home, Google, a mentor, the Bible, pray, hub. Some good answers up there. What's James's answer? James says this in chapter 1. If any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you. But when you ask, you must believe and not doubt, because the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea blown and tossed by the wind. If any of you lacks wisdom, ask. Isn't that what Robin just said? Ask God. I definitely need that on my part. And he's a generous God. His nature is to answer and to give. But we do need to ask with faith. And maybe that's the challenging bit. Do I really trust? Do I really believe that he's got the answer? Or do I, like Matt was challenging us with a couple of weeks back, do I try and sort it all out myself first, and then if all else fails, go to God? Matt challenged us with, I kind of believe in this God, but why don't I pray then? Why don't I turn to him? I've called this talk The Way of Wisdom. Why? Because wisdom isn't a static thing for James. It's not like you've got this, I've acquired wisdom and now I have it. Wisdom is mine in some kind of static way, but it's a way of wisdom. It's a living out that James is after with us. And so let's read our passage. Who is wise and understanding among you? Let them show it by their good life, by deeds done in the humility that comes from wisdom. But if you harbor bitter envy and selfish ambition in your hearts, don't boast about it or deny the truth. Such wisdom doesn't come down from heaven, but is earthly, unspiritual, demonic. For where you have envy and selfish ambition, there you find disorder and every evil practice. But the wisdom that comes from heaven is first of all pure, then peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy and good fruit, impartial and sincere. Peacemakers who sow in righteousness reap a harvest of righteousness. The way of wisdom that James is after. The wisdom that James applauds, that he gives the thumbs up to, is this. It's a wisdom, the source of which is heaven. It's outside of us. We rely on another. It's an active reliance. We go and we ask the God of heaven to give us wisdom. It doesn't reside here. Reminds me of the 12 Steps program that begins with that acknowledgement, I think it's step one, of I need help. And I need to go outside of myself to a, they use the language of higher power, but the originators probably meant God. I need to go outside of myself to get that help. I think that's what James is saying here. This wisdom that you seek comes from somewhere else. It comes from heaven. It's, secondly, a lived out wisdom. Deeds are done. A good life is seen. Isn't that James's way throughout his letter? Faith needs to be seen, the chicken and the egg. Here he's saying wisdom is not something you simply possess. And actually, we can't go from James's perspective, that person has wisdom, that person has wisdom, that person has wisdom, because wisdom comes from elsewhere. And it's demonstrated in a life that lives it out, that shows something, that has deeds. If you begin, take the beginning of chapter 3, it's shown by the tongue that is under control. That is wisdom. And thirdly, in this bit for James, the wisdom that James applauds is humble in character. We don't master wisdom. We don't get it and control it and contain it, and it's now here. We seek it. Therefore, we have nothing of which to be proud, because it comes from outside us and comes when we seek it from God. It's from heaven. We may think that age brings wisdom. Who are you thinking of there, Benny? I wondered about mentioning some names from across the pond. I thought maybe that wasn't appropriate. Age might bring experience, but we can be old and very foolish. Wisdom comes as we call for wisdom and seek for wisdom from elsewhere and start to live it out. Age for James does not equal wisdom, because we don't possess it. We don't control it. We find it as we seek it. Now, you might find someone old who's learned, and perhaps the benefit of age is you've been beaten up enough times and been foolish enough times that you've come to a place of realizing wisdom is not yours to possess. And so you're more perhaps attuned to going to God more quickly than perhaps when you're in your 20s and you think you've got all the answers, perhaps. But that's not necessarily the case. The wisdom of which James disapproves. Its source, he says, is earthy, unspiritual, demonic. It's earthy, it's human for James. It's not of spirit. I suggest he's meaning the spirit of God. This wisdom is not of spirit. It's the same as the unbridled tongue earlier in the chapter. It's from hell. It's demonic. It creates disorder and evil. Wisdom has fruit. If it's wisdom from God, then the fruit is good. The ordered life, the good life, it benefits others. But if it's the wisdom that James doesn't approve of, it still has fruit, but its fruit is not good. It's disorder. It's evil. And James says it's self-seeking. It's about me. My prowess, my praise. Self-glorification means that we become sowers of disorder, not righteousness. It's no wisdom at all. A little aside on humility. Can I be so right and yet so wrong? The story that Andy Taylor, who many of you know, tells of a time when he was arguing, had a debate over a particular situation, and he was convinced he was right. But his attitude in arguing his case was not. And his boss, who was Dave Richards at the time, said to him something like this: Andy, I actually agree with your conclusion, but your attitude has been so bad, I'm going the other way. He was so right, and yet he was so wrong. James 1, chapter 1, verse 21. Therefore, get rid of all moral filth and the evil that's so prevalent, and humbly accept the word planted in you, which can save you. There's a humility about wisdom that is teachable. Humbly accept the word of God. If I'm arguing the case with arrogance and self-glorification, that is not wisdom as far as James is concerned, even if my understanding is right. I could be so right and yet so wrong. Look a little bit further at heavenly wisdom. James describes it first as pure. Maybe a chief characteristic of God, who is pure. We know from our scriptures God is described as pure. And maybe that's what James is after here. Wisdom kind of looks like God in that way. It's pure. But we also know from our scriptures that the ways of the righteous, Proverbs 21:8, their ways are pure. And so there's some connection between righteousness and purity going on. And maybe it's an immediate contrast to the every evil practice that he speaks about in the very next verse. So heavenly wisdom for James is this pure wisdom. And then he describes it with all these other attributes, which I won't unpack. Peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy and good fruit, impartial, sincere. Do you think that could be a good little template for us? When I'm arguing my case and I think I've got some understanding and maybe I think I've got some wisdom, is that how I'm coming over? Or am I coming over the opposite way of that and James will go, well, that's not wisdom at all, that's from the pit. It could be a little, nice little grid to go, okay, what's my attitude in giving this input, giving my view on this occasion? Where else have you seen this? 1 Corinthians, about what? The love chapter, yeah. Where else? Beatitudes. Matthew 5, peace lovers, full of mercy. Where else? Paul. Where's Paul talk come with something similar to this? Galatians, fruits of the Spirit, love, joy, peace. Is this James, who doesn't particularly talk about the Holy Spirit much? Is this James almost equating the life of wisdom with the life of the Spirit? Maybe. Maybe. If it's a wisdom that comes from outside us, and it's a heavenly wisdom which speaks of coming from God, then it makes a whole lot of sense to say it's a spiritual wisdom. God is Father, Son, Spirit. And that maybe what James is saying here is really in the same way that Paul speaks about the Spirit-led life, you need to be a wisdom-led life, but that wisdom comes from the Spirit. Think about it. Maybe that's what's going on. But as we look at these attributes, we can see, as Peter David describes them, community-preserving attributes. If we're peace-loving, let's look at them again. If we're peace-loving, if this community is pure, is peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy and good fruit, impartial, sincere, that's a pretty good community to be part of, isn't it? Wouldn't mind that. Is that how I am towards people, towards you? If we look like this, who do we look like? God, Jesus. Is this an image of Christ for those who have been made in his image? And as someone prayed out today, we are being transformed. It's an ongoing process, being transformed into his likeness, being made into the image of Jesus, who truly depicts these attributes, shows these attributes. And James has that wonderful verse in verse 18, which is almost like a conclusion to the passage. Peacemakers who sow in peace reap a harvest of righteousness. Peacemaking isn't just absence of travail, but as we seek peace, righteousness comes forth. Is it a contrast to chapter 1, verse 20, where James says, human anger does not produce the righteousness that God desires, but peacemaking does. And that's the picture of wisdom. In the heat of argument, in the heat of debate, dare I say, in the heat of war, it's hard to retain your righteousness, isn't it? You get up, caught up in the heat of the moment, and chapter 3, at the beginning, lose control of your tongue. Do things, say things that are not helpful or edifying or wise. But if we're seeking peace, then maybe we'll just be able to stop long enough to ask for the one who gives us wisdom, to give us wisdom in this situation or that situation, and we can become peacemakers. So to conclude, wisdom, like everything in James, is seen and not just heard. It's no good being a teacher in the beginning of chapter 3 who speaks loads of words, yet their tongue is not under control. They've got to live it out. It's no good saying, I have faith, but there are no works to demonstrate that faith. It's got to be lived out. And it's the same here. Wisdom is seen, not just heard. It's demonstrated. There are good deeds. There is a life lived. There is peace seeking. Wisdom, you could say, is knowledge applied. Wisdom is when we look like Christ. If I look like Christ, there's going to be a bit of wisdom there. Wisdom is enabled by the Holy Spirit. Comes from outside of me, beyond me. Lord, I need help. Anyone else been in that place? Lord, I need help. I don't know what to do. I don't know how to resolve this. I need help. And God is the one who loves to give and loves to answer. That passage that Robin read, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask? How much more? What the author is saying is that, of course he will. You ask for the Spirit, he's going to give it. You ask for wisdom, he will give you wisdom. Of course he will. It's his character. It's his nature. We could define wisdom as living the life of Jesus louder than we speak. So we do speak. We do use words. But maybe our life could shout even louder. And it's empowered by the Spirit. Finally, wisdom is not a badge we wear, but a way of life to be recognized. We might acknowledge someone from whom we've got wisdom. We see it, we recognize it, but they don't walk around with a badge saying, look how wise I am, because they know any wisdom that you've received has come from elsewhere, and they give glory to him. Amen?